Welcome to a Talk Nation radio update on an Israeli commando raid on the Free Gaza flotilla trying to bring humanitarian aid into Gaza. I'm Dori Smith. We'll upload reports on this incident as we get them.
They are running around saying that there were weapons on board. They said there were pistols on board. And then shortly afterwards, buried in the fine text on their own website, they said there was no evidence that anybody had any weapons on board.
Greta Berlin, founder of the group Free Gaza, joins us for an update on their ships that were targeted by Israeli commandos after setting sail for Gaza with humanitarian aid on board. Greta Berlin, just tell us what you know at this point about what's happened and who has been killed or wounded.
We don't know anybody's names. We just heard from our colleague in Turkey, and she called us and said that 16 have been killed. There may be more, but they know that there have been 16. Six were Turks, 10 were from other nationalities. That was on the Turkish boat. A total of 50 to 80 were wounded, three very seriously. In addition, there were three wounded on the European campaign boat, which is a completely different boat. The Israelis shot two captains, one who was Turkish and one who was Greek, and the Greek captain was shot so seriously that he was airlifted to Greece. He refused to stay in Israel. They have seriously wounded Sheikh Salah, who is a very famous Palestinian from Palestine. And that's the only name that we know, the only name that we have been able to find. The rest of them, we are still waiting.
Greta Berlin, update us on the Gaza Freedom Movement. What do you know right now about this shooting? I mean, can you just walk us through events as you have been given to understand that they occurred?
I'm in the office in Cyprus. I'm one of the founders of the Free Gaza Movement. So, you know, I've been involved with this ever since the very beginning, 4 years ago. So the Freedom Flotilla was put together by a coalition of five partners. And when we went and we said that we were going to deliver supplies into Gaza that were forbidden by the State of Israel for 1.5 million people, we expected that they might try to stop us, they might try to board us. We never expected that they would shoot. What they didn't understand is that when they came on board the Turkish ship, that we had live streaming video. So when they landed and they came off the helicopter, you can see them come off the helicopter, turn around, look at each other, and start to shoot. Now, this is at 4:30 in the morning this morning when everybody is asleep. There was no resistance. There was nobody there who was threatening them. You want to look at the numbers? No Israelis wounded, no Israelis killed. 16 of us killed, 50 to 80 of us wounded. So explain to me exactly who the aggressor is.
Just explain what the Free Gaza Movement was given to understand in the hours preceding this attack, because there were certainly threats delivered. I mean, we saw Israelis commenting very negatively. What they were saying was that this was a publicity stunt. They were talking about the fact that the Palestinians didn't need this aid. And so the rhetoric was escalating. And then Israel sent warships to the region. And so at that point, there must have been some discussion about what the Gaza Freedom Movement members on these ships were planning to do. And can you just tell us what was that process like?
Okay, we are the only people who have sent boats in. There's lots of initiatives. One is called the Gaza Freedom Movement. That's not us. We are Free Gaza, which means we are the ones that always sent the boats in. We have gone in. This is our ninth voyage. We went in successfully five times. Now, we went in successfully five times in spite of Israeli threats. Israel is the illegal entity here. They're the ones who are breaking international law and not us. We never get near Israel. Israel attacked us last night in international waters. That's a crime. That's an international crime. They boarded our boats. They killed us, and they wounded us in international waters, nowhere close to the shores of Israel. We were 70 miles out. And they do not have the right. We don't recognize that they have the right to blockade the people of Gaza. That's what this initiative has always been about. It's about breaking the blockade of Gaza and letting the 1.5 million Palestinians who are in prison there have a life of their own and be able to rebuild their homes and print their textbooks and go and leave their country and come back from the country just like you and I do.
And of course, listeners will remember it was January of 2009 when Israel attacked Gaza by air, devastating casualties. And that, of course, catalyzed much of this because they have not allowed free access to aid by any stretch of the imagination from UN or others into this. And of course, UN also came under fire during that Israeli assault, where there was also the use of white phosphorus, the UN complaining.
Right.
Now,
right. I mean, if you read the Goldstone report, Israel has been accused of committing war crimes. I call this slow motion genocide under the radar, so nobody really pays very much attention to it. But that is what they're doing to the people of Gaza. And those of us who have been involved in this are pretty much saying, look, governments aren't doing anything. Governments pledged $4.5 billion to rebuild Gaza. Not one penny of that money has gotten into the people of Gaza. So if governments aren't going to do anything, then it's up to those of us who believe in justice, what I call a citizen's initiative, to be able to go in and say, you're not doing this in our name any longer, and you are certainly, as an American, not doing this with my money.
Tell us about the different nationalities and the boats that are now, as we understand it, in custody. Israel has all of these people, right?
Yes, they have about 700 people in custody, minus the people they wounded and killed, of course. And there are still around 100 people that are on the Turkish boat, from what I understand. And the Turkish boat has not been hauled into Ashdod. All the other boats have. So that's five. That's three cargo ships and then two passenger boats. And then the large passenger boat is sitting out in the sea. I don't know what they're going to do with 700 people. One of the things that we taught, because we teach nonviolent resistance, one of the things that we taught our own passengers is do not allow them to bully you. Do not allow the Israelis to bully you. Don't sign anything that you don't understand. Don't sign anything that is in Hebrew. And resist deportation because we didn't want to be there in the first place. When they did this to us, only 21 of us, last summer, they actually charged us with illegally entering Israel, which was the last place that any of us ever wanted to go. They hauled us into Israel, then charged us with illegally entering Israel.
And so which countries are represented here? I understand there are people from all over the world, including some very famous figures in the world of human rights on these boats.
I don't have the list in front of me, but I think it's something like 20 or 23 countries. Most of the countries in Europe are represented, Sweden, Norway, Germany sent three members of parliament, the UK, France, most of the members of the EU has sent at least 1 to 4 people for a delegation. I think there are 10 Americans who have gone. There are people who have gone who are there from around the Muslim world as well, from Malaysia to Indonesia to the world to the Middle East. There's a Palestinian delegation that's been made up of Knesset members and also Palestinians from the occupied West Bank. So this has been a huge group of people who had one common goal. What was so amazing about this initiative when we put this together is that the Greeks and the Turks might not like talking to each other about Cyprus, but they were willing to work together for Palestine. And that is an amazing, it's an amazing change for them. And if they can do that for Palestine, they can certainly do that. Sort them their own differences out. I honestly think that there was a conscious attempt on all of our parts to bring to the attention of the world that the 1.5 million people in Gaza cannot survive the way they have continued to survive. 20% of us are over 60, so we are in no way a threat to Israel, except we are a threat to Israel's standing. We are a threat to what Israel has been doing to the Palestinians for 62 years.
And, of course, the Israeli officials are saying that the boats were carrying weapons. Daniel Elyon, I believe, was the last to comment along those lines. Can you just confirm, then, that you would be able to confirm that none of these ships would have weapons?
Well, I don't have to confirm it at all. Israel confirmed it. They are running around saying that there were weapons on board. They said there were pistols on board. And then shortly afterwards, buried in the fine text on their own website, they said there was no evidence that anybody had any weapons on board. And in fact, the only weapons that were on board were brought on by the Israelis. We don't have weapons. They came on with submachine guns, with bayonets, with all of the things that the Israeli army has, thanks to American largesse. And the only weapons that were ever on board any of these boats belonged to the Israelis. The only terrorists on these boats was Israel.
Have you made any appeals to any foreign leaders or, you know, maybe courts or the Security Council itself at the UN about what happened in order to gain access to the people who have just been shot or traumatized and who are now in custody of the State of Israel?
When we planned this flotilla, we took almost a year to do that. We already have Israeli lawyers and Israeli-Palestinian lawyers on the ground. They're already working with us. We already had them in place. So it is in their quite capable hands. As far as appealing to any international body, governments haven't stepped up to do anything before. What we're actually appealing to are the citizens of the world to say that this cannot happen any longer. We have not needed to solicit endorsements or even outrage over what Israel has done. The world bodies are coming and telling us that, from the EU to human rights bodies. They're already issuing calls for Israel to release the boats, release the supplies, and release the passengers.
Well, it's, I think, about 15 hours or so since this occurred. Is that right? Can you just give us a sense of the time that's passed?
We're exhausted. We've been up. There's only four of us running the media. We have been up now for two straight days. There's a sense of outrage on all of our parts. We're angry. We're angry that Israel would do this with such impunity and think that it can get away with it. My own personal feeling is that Israel has gotten away with doing this to the Palestinians since 1948, so they think that they can continue to get away with this. They murdered Rachel Corrie. They killed Tom Herndl. Nothing really very much was done to Israel. I don't think that's going to happen this time. I think that this was a strategic and a human mistake by Israel.
I want to ask you finally about some of what we've learned as we've studied this and events leading up to it. And we've been asking scholars about this region, too, to comment. But Brigadier General Yossi Bay-Dats, he's head of research for the Israeli military intelligence community. I don't know exactly what agency.
Sorry, that's an oxymoron. But
okay.
Please go ahead.
Well, apparently he told lawmakers that he wanted to see a review of the government's strategy for dealing with the aid fleet. This, according to a lawmaker present at a briefing, the Israeli military declining to comment on what was said there. But evidently, this was a closed-door military briefing for members of the Israeli parliament's Foreign Affairs and Defense Committee. Curious that that would have happened. Just comment on what you know about any kind of, you know, division in Israel about how to handle you and your peaceful effort.
We have heard that Israel has spent millions of dollars trying to figure out how to stop 700 civilians in boats and ships that are definitely secondhand and with cargo that has been donated. So we kind of figure that that would be one of our victories. They had to spend so much time and so much agony and look so obviously as though they're having a massive nervous breakdown. I think that we have the law on our side. We always have. We have international lawyers. We have maritime lawyers. They have all donated their time. We haven't needed to pay for any of that, who have given us opinions that Israel really does not have the right to blockade Gaza unless they are willing to admit that they occupy Gaza. If they occupy Gaza, then they have the right as an occupier to make sure that not only are the people well taken care of, but they have right to patrol their borders. But you see, Israel has said that since 2005, they are not occupying Gaza. So we found the Achilles heel in their reasoning, and the Achilles heel was the ability to go from international waters into the waters of Gaza and challenge them over and over again. I realize that they often say that the Oslo Accord gave them up to 20 miles. Between 12 and 20 miles, they have the right to patrol, and that the Palestinian Authority has renewed that. The Oslo Accords are dead. The Palestinian Authority really has no authority. And as civilians, we are saying, you can't do this anymore, Israel, and we're going to make sure that the world knows you cannot do this. One last thing, Gaza is the only territory in the world that it has no access to its own sea. When you think about that, the only territory in the world that has no access to its own sea, it's only 35 miles long. Fishermen can't fish. Children can't go in. It's polluted with sewage. Families are shot when they are picnicking on the beach. And that has got to stop. That's our responsibility. Every American listening to this program should pick up the phone and call the Israeli embassy and call the State Department and express your outrage.
Where should listeners go, Greta Berlin, if they want to know more about what's going on?
Oh, they can go to our website. It's freegaza.org. They can go to our voyage page, which we set up specifically for the voyages, and you can see a lot of videotapes on there. It's called witnessgaza.com. There's a lot of videos, a lot of tweets, all of those things. If they want to donate, I mean, we're going again. We held the Rachel Corrie. The Rachel Corrie is our cargo ship. We held that back for exactly this reason. We wanted to find out what happened to this. And we're going to mount another voyage. We're going to mount another initiative. And it's going to be sooner rather than later. So we appeal to everybody. Look, if you want to have this happen, if you're outraged over the fact that Israel managed to kill 16 civilians who didn't have anything except their life jackets on and they're waving little white flags, then you've got to step up. You've got to make yourself heard. We've got to be able to stop this. This is not the world that any of us want to live in.
Thank you very much for giving us this update, and we hope we can speak with you again as this continues.
Sure. If you can get through on my cell phone, you're welcome to talk to me anytime.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
This is Dori Smith. Coming up, reaction from Professor Stephen Zunes on the Israeli commando attacks that left more than a dozen people dead on the Free Gaza flotilla trying to bring humanitarian aid into Gaza. Some of the dozens wounded are in hospital, some in critical condition. Israel not yet releasing the names of those injured or killed. 700 people are in custody in Israel.
Again, it comes back to how people react. If people cower and decide that it's too risky to challenge the Israeli occupation siege, it would be successful. But I think more likely, we're seeing yet another case of the blowback of the paradox of repression, or what the sociologist Gene Sharp referred to as political jujitsu, where the weight of the repression ends up hurting the oppressor because it creates a popular reaction where people come back in even greater numbers, and it actually is the key event, which really gives the momentum to the opposition. I mean, I don't think Israel would have taken what I think they recognize as was considerable political risk in doing this if they weren't running scared. And so I think it's really time to redouble our efforts to support the peace and human rights community within Israel, peace and human rights activists within Palestine, and the international effort in solidarity to end the occupation and siege.
We'll have more reaction from Dr. Stephen Zunes, professor of politics and international studies at the University of San Francisco, where he is chair of the program in Middle Eastern Studies, and of course, author of several books on this region, including Tinderbox and Nonviolent Social Movements. We'll upload that interview as soon as we can get it edited for air. We'll also be airing our regularly scheduled broadcast this week, an interview with Patty Goldman. She's Vice President for Litigation at Earth Justice. We'll be looking at the question of offshore oil drilling in the Gulf of Mexico and the crisis caused by British Petroleum's spill. We will be following up on that, as well as the use of the chemical dispersant, what that entails, a lawsuit initiated by Earth Justice. And we'll also be talking about the problem of continued pesticide use in the United States, side drift, toxicity, health problems as a result of the use of these pesticides. Talk Nation Radio is produced in Storrs, Connecticut, and syndicated nationally with Pacifica Network. Write to us at talknationradio@gmail.com with your comments, and look for us on stations in your area with regular weekly broadcasts. TalkNationRadio.org for further information.